Hey, this is Gunn Sully from the podcast The Indefensible Middle Ground, and I've tried to stay apolitical with the Top 10 Tuesday episodes, but in honor of my favorite director, Manya Akbari, my professors who were refugees of the Iranian Revolution and the continuing revolution and the Iran-Iraq War, Sergeant Karosh of the U.S. Army, a friend, and author Reza Khalili, I want to set the record straight on a few misconceptions that Americans have with Iran. There's been a lot of just basic assumption that whatever the White House says about Iran is totally legitimate. And also there's misconceptions on the Republican side as well. So I've got a little D and R, sometimes both, by each of these, so I can tell you what's a Democrat misconception versus a Republican misconception. So without further ado, Top 10 Tuesday, misconceptions on Iran. Number one, Iranians are black or Arab. This is a big one because you may have heard them tossed into the Arab Spring, which not only was that completely different than the Arab Spring, it was before it, and they're not Arabs. They are a Caucasian ethnicity, referred to as Persian. About 5/6 of the country is Persian. So there's a minority in the country that are Arab. Most of them are some form of Persian or Azari or Kurd, which a lot of people draw all the way back to ancient Persia. Two, they speak Arabic. They write using Arabic letters, but the language they're writing is Farsi, which is the Persian language. It does use a lot of Arabic words, but in the same way that English uses a lot of Latin words. It's not Arabic. It just looks like Arabic. The first two were kind of toss-ups. Number one, I mentioned that some people think Iranians are black, and that comes from 300, I think. I think it really comes from the movie 300, where just, you know, the Persians were just black people in a lot of the scenes, which historically is just completely inaccurate. And you would actually probably see in a battle between a Persian and a Macedonian Spartan, you probably would see the Spartan having a little bit more of a tan than the Persian in the ancient times, because A, the Arabs hadn't invaded Persia yet, the Macedonians are closer to the equator than a lot of the ruling class of Persia and the militaries of Persia, which would have been from the north of Asia Minor. So let's go ahead and move on to three, which is a big Democrat. Misconception, which is Iran has always been a very conservative Islamic country. And obviously there is a direct line in Iran that predates Islam dramatically. And they have incredible records and evidence of their ancient history. Not just the Iranians keeping those records, but as I mentioned, they butted heads with the Macedonians and other cultures, and there wasn't any Allah Akbar being yelled during those wars. That was a time of Zoroastrianism and other religions. Also, in more recent history, in the 1950s and 60s, if you were to see pictures of Tehran in those times, the culture was more similar, not just to Western, because they firmly believed, the majority of the Iranians firmly believed that they were Europeans. And the Western culture was very attractive to them, and not just all Western culture, but specifically French style and fashion. Jupe, the miniskirt, very popular. So the takeover of Iran by the hyper-conservatives, which happened in 1979, and was kind of a mixed bag, because you had some people thinking it was going to be a democratic takeover. They wanted more Western values and less Middle Eastern dictator style stuff, because the Shah had become more of a dictator than a king at that time, and they wanted democracy. And then the hyper-conservatives, the people who support the Ayatollah, basically beat the country into submission the entire for the next 8 years, with the Iran-Iraq war and Hezbollah attacking the people in the city, in the cities and countrysides of Iran. Number four, another Democrat, a widely thought Democrat misconception, is Iran is now a democracy. The democracy at the highest levels in the Iranian government is a show. That's not saying there's not low-level democracy in different areas and townships, but the highest levels, the president, it's just a show. The true reform candidates are not allowed to run, and if they are allowed to run, they are not going to win. It's just to give an illusion of choice for people. Illusion of choice. And the Ayatollah runs the country and picks the leaders. And this is a big deal, too, because I'll get to this a little bit later, explaining the difference between a democracy or a parliamentary concept and a theocracy, because you either have this religious leader on this side that rules, or this group of religious leaders that are ruling. So it's, you're never going to be going, hey, I want to be Western, I'm going to vote for Western values and get your vote counted, which is sad. And that's why there were so much protests in 2009. I'll get to that in a little bit. Number five, Iran started the Arab Spring. As I pointed out up above, they are not Arabs, so that was not the Arab Spring. The Arab Spring didn't start until 2010 and 11. It started in different places, different times, so it's but mostly in 2010, and it was essentially copying. And a lot of times, commentators in America would pretend that, or not pretend, but they would actually think that the Arab Spring was somehow related to the unrest in Iran in 2009. And 2009, obviously different years than 2010, different spring, different group of people, different country, different main form of Islam. That's a big point, where Iran, Shia country, and also the people who were loudly protesting were not protesting because they were Shia Muslims. They were protesting because they wanted freedom, freedom of speech. They weren't saying they weren't Shia Muslims, but they were saying they were Persians first, and they were saying that they wanted the freedom to speak and to live lives as they wanted. It was a socially liberal movement, mostly college students. Now, when you contrast that to the Arab Spring, which I know a lot of people would argue that it was mostly college students who wanted freedom as well, when in fact it was hijacked very early on in its movement and concept by hyper right-wing Sunni Muslim groups. Sunnis, of course, a different form of Islam, and these were very right-wing Sunni groups like the Muslim Brotherhood, who basically just took the reins of the entire movement. And it was really depressing to see areas that were already conservative turn even more towards the religious theocratic concepts. And I said it I said it at the start of the Arab Spring when the news kept saying, oh, this is like what it happened in Iran in 2009. And I said, no, this is what happened to Iran in 1979. Very different situations. These are hyper-religious people trying to make a massive power grab, which is exactly what we saw in Egypt with a fake democracy movement, which really just wanted to have a theocracy form, and they wanted a supreme leader of their own to come from it, which would have been Mohamed Morsi. But General al-Sisi took him into house arrest after he violated their constitution, which is actually, in my opinion, a good thing, because if you try to become a supreme leader in a country that has a defined constitution, it's you got to do your job and get that guy out of there. So you have Iran being a democracy, Iran started the Arab Spring. Oh, yes. This one's my favorite. Number six is something that the Democrats toss around a lot because they think it completely validates the current government in Iran. And they think that this makes perfect sense to say that the Iranian government came to power because they were upset that America had installed the Shah. And they point back to when back in 1953 with the Mordad coup, which was when the Shah, who had existed before this this interfering with the United States, the Shah was there. He was in power. There was the attempt by reformers within the government in the 1950s to allow sort of a parliamentary democratic government within the Shah's government, within the Shah's Iran. It was supposed to be similar to what they had in England, where you had royalty, but you also had the prime minister and people that you get to vote for, and you get not just a sense of freedom, but you actually get freedom. You get reform, you get change, you get progress. Now, the Shah felt threatened by this, something that he had approved of. After it was implemented, felt incredibly threatened by it, and we helped him overthrow Prime Minister Mossadegh, which is, I think, by everyone's opinion, is a bad thing. That it would have been incredible. Iran would have been stronger had this not happened. And if the Shah could have remained the king of his country while the country ruled themselves, it would have been wonderful. But we did not install the Shah. America did not put the Shah there. The Shah was there before the 1953 Mordad coup. We also just overthrew part of the government. So this is, and we just helped with this. This was also the Shah. The CIA helped with this, but this was not entirely a U.S. thing. This was an Iranian thing. Also, yeah, we didn't invent the Shah, which if you watch the movie Argo, you would think that America just found some guy off the street, made him into the Shah of Iran, and did a secret squirrel coup of the government and flew this guy into the Capitol mansion. And that's just ridiculous. The Shah had a place in Iran. Shahs have had places in Iran and in Iranian history for thousands of years. So America did not invent the Shaw. Sorry if you saw Argo and thought that you were a Persian history scholar because you watched the intro, but no, it's not right. Also, it's not the Iranian the Islamic Republic of Iran revolution was not in direct response to Mossadegh. There were people who were wanting to see reform like Mossadegh, but it was hijacked by the followers of Ayatollah Khomeini, who wanted to have a religious theocracy, which is something that Mossadegh would have been against. Mossadegh was not for an overt religious democracy or religious theocracy in the same way that the loyalists to the Shah were not for it. So yeah, we don't need to try to validate the Islamic Republic by saying they had a rational grievance from 30 years earlier. So moving on, we have number 7, another Democrat misconception that I've heard peddled around. Iran did bad stuff, but they've changed now and they're reasonable. You may have read books on Iran back in the 80s and 90s and think, well, that was a couple decades ago. I'm sure they're fine now. They're making weapons of mass destruction specifically to threaten Western countries. They have not claimed that their nuclear program is for peace. That's coming from our government. Our government is the one going, no, they want this for peace. While their government leaders say that they're making nuclear weapons and that they're going to defeat the West and destroy Israel. The biggest shocker in that too is that a lot of Western powers honestly think, whatever, Israel dug its own hole, Israel's over there, we don't need to protect them all the time. Here's the big squishy nougat inside that little pastry is weapons of mass destruction aren't something that people who want to take over a land use on that land. By that I mean, if Americans were saying, hey, we really want to live in Hiroshima, we want to live in Hiroshima, you're not going to drop a nuclear bomb on it. So why would Iran blow up Israel if they want Israel? And that's a big thing that you need to kind of think about, you need to mull over your head and try to understand, because it's not really to blow up Israel. It's to blow up Western countries that try to keep them from taking Israel by force. And by force means their own military going in there, boots on the ground, and taking the country, not a nuclear weapon used against Israel. That nuclear weapon would be used against France or Russia, or with ICBM technology, God forbid, United States. And we need to understand that the threat is an existential threat there. It's not just them bloviating, and it's not just them fighting with their neighbors. It's them trying to strike out at other people, which is stuff they say. This is stuff they say on a fairly regular basis. And for us to ignore that is just kind of silly. It's the height of ignorance. Number 8, Iran supports ISIS. This is a Republican misconception, and a pretty funny one. I heard Rush Limbaugh say it a few months ago. And yes, the Islamic Republic of Iran does not support the Islamic State. The IRI is Shia, and the IS is Sunni. They fight. They are fighting currently against each other on multiple fronts. So, and that dovetails directly into 9, which is a Democrat misconception. Iran, since they fight ISIS, are good guys, and we have more in common with them than differences. Iran has fought ISIS and the Taliban before that, and Al-Qaeda. Those were some of the biggest enemies of Iran, just as they were biggest enemies of America. But here in America, are a multicultural, socially liberal, democratic republic. At our founding, in our Constitution, which means even our conservative politicians are still pro-freedom of speech and religious freedom, since those concepts were in the founding of our country. IRI is a theocracy. Remember, the first I stands for Islamic, just like the Islamic State. But as I pointed out before, they are a different kind of Muslim theocracy, which is why they butt heads with the Islamic State. Not because they want freedom and civil rights to all. It's because of hyper-conservative religious reasons, not to mention the baser concepts of territory and defense. They are so religiously run and so hyper-conservative, they have a Zion force, Nuri Quds, which is a special fighting force whose ultimate goal is in their name, Quds force, which Quds is the Muslim religious term for Jerusalem, similar to the concept of Zion being the Jewish or Christian religious term for Jerusalem and or Israel. To put that in perspective, Israel actually is what people consider to be Zion, and they don't have a Zion force in their military, and they haven't since the time of the British occupation. The Iranian government are not good guys just because they fight ISIS. They have their own big situations that they're involved in that are very bad, including supporting terrorists, not ISIS, but other terrorist groups like Hezbollah, which are very happy to kill innocent people, kill our allies, and kill American soldiers. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard, which I'll talk about a little bit more in number 10, but they have fought our troops while we're fighting overseas. And this would be an act of war in any other time, but now it's kind of looked at as, oh, well, they snuck in there and took some pot shots while we were fighting Shia militias in Iraq. So who cares, right? Very bizarre concept. Iran, just because they fight some of the bad guys that we also fight, doesn't mean that we are the same, and doesn't mean that we agree with them. This is not a hard concept, people. Number 10 is another one from the administration. The Islamic Republic of Iran should have all the Iranian assets because they are the country Iran. This is not the government. This is not the same country of the Iran of the Shah that we are friends with. And that's very important to note. And that's something that they say. It's something that they say overtly. It's something they said then. It's something they say now. It is a revolution. A revolution that took their country. Not a civil war. A civil war would say, hey, we took our country back. A revolution says, we took over this country, now it's a new country. This is a new country that they formed. This is not the Iran of the Shah. And they have the Pastarana-Engalab, which is the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, or IRGC for short. And those are the guardians of the revolution. The people that make sure that nobody else tries to take the country, or there's no civil war to try to take the country back, which they're essentially was during the time of the Iran-Iraq war, while the news cameras were focused on that, there was a war against their own people put on by the government funding Hezbollah to force the people in line with the Iranian religious governmental regime. So you have a government that took over the Shah's government, chased the Shah out of there, and you have our government going, hey, we need to help you get all this money back that belonged to the Shah. Now, since you're there, you get this money. And, you know, it's totally justified because you were just upset about that whole Mossadegh thing. So we really want to help you get this money back. And that's what they did. Now, what it really looks like is they paid ransom and got some people back. But in all actuality, it's actually far worse. And our government has once again gone out of their way. Specifically, the Obama administration has gone out of their way to validate the regional supremacy of a terroristic regime that tortures, that kills people without due process, that has the unbelievable, horrible atrocities done to women, including sanctioned rape. They still hang people in Iran. A man who came back from the United States to Iran was just hung for being a spy. It's unbelievable that our government would in any way validate the Islamic Republic of Iran, a criminal regime that took power from an ally, and we would validate them. Obama has gone out of his way to validate them, even addressing the mullahs, which is the larger, sort of the religious parliament, if you will, of Iran, is a oligarchy of religious leaders called mullahs, and he spoke directly to them during the 2009 protests, where the young people of Iran were protesting their votes not being counted. I mean, there were parts where their votes just 100% were not counted. Such anti-democratic, anti-Western sentiment within the country, and they were protesting that. Obama did not speak to them when he did an address to Iran. He spoke to the mullahs. He validated the theocracy, specifically validated the theocracy of Iran, which makes no sense if you are a liberal, if you are somebody who respects freedom of speech and freedom of religion, liberal concepts that are in our constitution, which our government was founded on. It doesn't make any sense for our government to be going out of its way to help a government that is a theocracy, not just a theocracy, a violent theocracy that threatens us and our allies, both in Europe and in the Middle East. And whenever they do, we hear a backlash from this, not just from Israel, where everyone likes to point and roll their eyes, but from Arab countries, Sunni Arab countries that are threatened on a daily basis by Shia terrorist groups funded by Iran. This is Gunn, and I hope I've helped explain some of this to you guys, and I just would really like to see some reason injected into the situation, because what we basically have is a government that appears to be running on the Adlerian psychology concepts of whatever the older guy did, you know, that was stupid, and I'm a teenager, like, the world is mine and stuff, so, like, they're probably dumb. I bet drugs are good. Oh, the old GOP guys said that Iran was bad. Well, I'm Barack Obama. I bet they're wrong, and I bet Iran is good. And just sort of blindly being rebellious, like an Adlerian psychology they describe teenagers. That's how Obama acts when it comes to Iran. Like, no matter what, they're good because the Republicans said that they're bad. Which, no. Your political enemies can be right on a lot of issues. Your political party doesn't mean you're wrong on everything. People can still say facts, whether or not there's a D or an R by their name. Or even an L. And this is another one of the reasons why, since Hillary is running on Obama's third term, another one of the reasons why I can't support Hillary, because she's parroting some of Obama's comments on Iran, which is disappointing because back in the day, she used to be for logical concepts like sanctions on Iran. So she's gone a 180 on that and even taken credit for the botched Iran deal, which that thing is just such an embarrassment. I really would like to see reason win out in this election. So this is Gunn apologizing. I couldn't be apolitical on this one. Full disclosure, I am voting for Gary Johnson. And I would really, really want people to keep talking it out, keep talking out these issues. Don't just watch the first 5 minutes of the movie Argo. Don't just read headlines. Actually talk things out. Learn things. This is Gunn. Signing off.